What do you put a council? Corner mark in the parking lot.
Right.
Welcome to tonight's regular meeting of the Planning Commission. Please take your seats. Put your cell phones on vibrate or silent mode. Commissioner Paxton, would you lead us in a flag salute, please? Thank you very much. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Commissioner Machen.
Here.
Commissioner Ebley.
Here.
Commissioner Paxton.
Here.
Commissioner Earp.
Here.
Okay. Commissioners Durr and Lopez are excused. Barnhart is absent. We have quorum.
Thank you. First on our agenda tonight is a consent agenda. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda?
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. For tonight's consent calendar, we have one item, and that is adoption of the minutes from May 18th, 2016, and staff is recommending that the Commission adopt those minutes.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Unanimous. Public hearing items. The Planning Commission will first hear a report from staff, then the public hearing will be opened. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located on a table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for the taped record. After all have spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. The public hearing will then be closed and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless an appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge the resultant action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Would staff, Ms. Sanchez, would you administer the oath, please?
Okay, please stand. Nobody needs to speak tonight.
Okay.
Okay. Are any of the applicants present?
Applicants
please
need
stand.
To stand to be sworn as well. Thank you.
Okay, raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do. Thank you. Be seated.
Thank you very much. Agenda item two.
Agenda item number two is being continued until the July hearing.
Okay, no action taken by us. Or do we need a motion to continue?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I entertain a motion to continue until July. We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Thank you. Item number three.
Item number three is conditional use permit 16-08. A request to reestablish a car dealership with mechanic shop along with the required on-site and off-site improvements on a site containing approximately 1.3 acres located at 180 East Baseline Street within the commercial general CG1 zone.
Just be aware that it's not being displayed up here.
Okay. Do you...
There we go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You can see that this is on the north side of Baseline between Lugo Avenue and Sepulveda Avenue. And there's the aerial photo of the site. The project site is existing, but it's underutilized. It's been vacant for a number of years. The proposed used vehicle dealership and related services will reactivate the site. There will be some minor cosmetic upgrades to the building, but the majority of the upgrades will be on-site improvements, including the addition of some landscaping, striping for the parking lot, improvements to the sidewalks and the streets surrounding the area. You can see the site plan. Nothing is changing on the building itself. As I said, most of the improvements are landscaping and parking lot improvements. Here's the existing conditions of the site. This is the south elevation from Baseline. This is the west elevation from Lugo. And the east elevation from Sepulveda. Staff's recommendation is that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2016-032, adopting the categorical exemption and approving conditional use permit 16-08 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval.
At this time, any questions from any of the commissioners for staff? I had one question addressed at the pre-meeting, and the question I had was to ensure that stormwater runoff was appropriately handled to meet all the requirements, and assured by staff it'll be covered in as they go through the permitting process. I felt it was important to let the fellow commissioners know that detail of the previous meeting. At that point, I'll entertain a motion unless there's some further discussion or anybody from the public or an applicant wishes to make a presentation.
I'd like to present a motion.
Certainly.
I would like to move that the commission adopt resolution number 2016-02. I
have a motion. Do I have a second? I have a second.
Excuse me, Chair. If I may, we just noticed that the actual CUP, the motion in the agenda is incorrect. It references CUP 1420. It should actually reference 16-08. So I just want to make sure that the maker of the motion and the seconder actually do mean to approve conditional use permit 1608.
You're still good with that? 16-08. Mr. Henry, same thing? You're good with it as a second? Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Again, unanimous. Easy night tonight. Item number four.
Good Thank you. Item number four tonight is sign program 1603 and variance 1602. It's a request to allow an on-site freestanding freeway-oriented electronic message center sign approximately 70 feet in height. Two displays, double-sided sign, that are each approximately 300 square feet. And the project site is located at 101 East Redlands Boulevard within the commercial regional CR3 zone. Just to clarify first, the reason for the two applications, the sign is currently proposed at 70 feet. The standards in the code currently allow 50 feet above freeway grade. The property itself does not, the 70 feet would exceed that standard due to the grade of the freeway in relation to the site. Additionally, the current sign is proposed at 300 square feet. The code allows 200 square feet, so they're asking for an increase of 50%. And the sign program is for the approval of the component with the electronic message reader board. There's an aerial of the site. You can see it's located south side of Redlands Boulevard, just below the 10 freeway. Location map for the project site. As you can see, it's located within the commercial regional CR3 zone. Here's the information I was referencing earlier. Max height permitted is 50 feet. Max sign area, 200 square feet. An EMC is allowed up to 75% of whatever the total sign area is. The applicant has noted proposing 70 feet with a 300 square foot sign face. 225 square feet of that would be for the reader board, which is 75% of the proposed sign. And just a note on the history of the site. Previously, about 14 years ago, there was a variance approved for a similar sign, also 70 feet in height, with a slightly larger sign cabinet area. Here's an existing photo of the conditions on site. You can see the pylon supports for that previous sign remain on site. When the previous business that had that sign vacated the property prior to the current tenant coming in, the sign was removed, but not the supports. The proposed sign, as you can see, would utilize the existing reports or existing pylon supports, and just put the new dual double-faced cabinet on top. And our recommendation tonight is to adopt Resolution 2016-033, adopting the categorical exemption for this project and approving sign program 1603 and variance 1602 based off the findings of fact contained in the staff report or in the resolution and subject to the conditions of approval. I do want to make one note in front of you. You should all have a copy of an updated resolution for the item. The support or the ultimate conclusion of the resolution remains unchanged, but there have been some additional notations added in the findings for both the sign program and the variance, elaborating on some of the reasoning for the EMC reader and for the size of the sign cabinet.
Just a chance to read the...
Yeah, no, I understand. It's some last-minute additions.
Is the applicant in the audience?
Yes, the applicant is present if you do have any questions this evening. I'm sorry, let me add on the resolution. The areas that were, the text that was amended or added is underlined on there so that it's a little more easily identifiable.
Everybody up to speed yet? Was that an affirmative?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Martin? Travis.
Just one. What I understand is it'll basically be the local business sign up there, but you want to advertise other businesses on it or around there. It's just a solid electronic sign that says local health on it.
As proposed by the applicant, and then there is a condition in the report there. It would be a changeable copy sign, but the applicant has agreed and would be limited to advertising for only organizations within Loma Linda. So they'd be able to advertise beyond the specific entity on that property, but there are other entities they have within the city, and then the remainder of the university health system.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have a question for the applicant. Yes, if you would, please. We need to get you on record, so over at this podium. And please state your name and address for the tape record. Spell your name if it's an unusual name.
Curtis with a K, Sharp, S-H-A-R-P. And I'm located at 24951 Stewart Street, Loma Linda, California. And I'm with Loma Linda University Health. And I'm in the construction and architectural department.
Well, welcome. Thank you. I have a question. It's not a requirement. I would like to ask if you as the applicant or Loma Linda University Health Service would consider donating to the city of San Bernardino a positive statement in your run of advertising of 1-2% of the time. Welcome to San Bernardino or something similar to that, effacing a positive statement towards the city of San Bernardino.
I think that's a reasonable request.
That was it for me. Okay. I hate to get you out of your comfortable chairs to get that. That's the only one I had. Is if you guys are in agreement, welcome.
Thank you.
I love to see cooperation, and we like to cooperate with an entity as such as Loma Linda has proven themselves to be. Any questions for the applicant? Mr. Pacton.
Just a comment on and piggybacking on the chairman's comment, SB Strong would be a great sign, and just Loma Linda has been a great partner with us. In fact, next week there's a ribbon cutting for the brand new clinic down here across from the baseball stadium. Major investment by the health system, so we thank you for that. And you are certainly contributing to making San Bernardino strong. So add that message to the sign. It's perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move approval, move that the Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2016-033, adopting the categorical exemption and approving sign program 1603 and variant 1602 based on the findings of fact and subject to the recommended conditions of approval.
I have a motion.
Deputy City Attorney Stephen Graham, I just wanted to add something based on the discussion that has just occurred, was to add to the condition of approval on page 5 of the resolution, and it's condition number 7. And it would simply, this is the portion where the condition that advertising is limited to Loma Linda University Health Organization, to add language and city messages as may be available from time to time in the discretion of Loma Linda University Health. That is the language we use on in other similar situations.
Okay, happy to add that to my motion.
Okay.
Is that acceptable to Loma Linda? It's put in as a requirement on it that you San Bernardino strong or an appropriate city of San Bernardino generated short message to promote San Bernardino as a city.
Yes.
Thank you. Will I include that language in?
That one could. I can confirm with our attorney to get that exact language into the record.
Commissioner Paxton, I understand you're okay with that addition?
Yes, sir.
I still need a second. Commissioner Earp, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Keep moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're into non-public hearing items. Study session number five, item number five.
All right, sorry about that. All right, so our final item tonight is our next update on the process of updating our development code. First to start, just a quick recap of the items that we discussed at the last meeting. The overall idea with the code, as we've said numerous times, is consolidating a lot of things, making things more efficient, streamlined for both public and city staff to use. The two sections we looked at last month were both land uses and the definitions. With land uses, again, the idea is creating broader categories, less specific about types of manufacturing or types of retail, more generalized to give that flexibility, making sure that we retain all of the existing land uses that are working still, so we don't create any non-conforming issues with good existing operating properties in the city, and creating better language to regulate the prohibited uses that we have currently. And then with the definitions, it's twofold. It's creating new definitions, making them more readable of what we have for both the new land uses we're creating and the consolidated land uses. And then just another recap, the sections that we're looking at with the code said previously, last month we looked at land uses and definitions, sections 2 and 7. Tonight we're looking at zoning districts and maps, which is our first section of the code. Currently, we have many zoning districts in the city, between residential, industrial, and commercial, many more than we need, in fact. There's 8 residential land use districts currently, 11 commercial, and 4 industrial. It makes it very difficult to process a lot of the time, and many of these zones, especially in the commercial areas, have almost negligible differences between what would be permitted or what the standards would be. Because of that, we're proposing to consolidate many of them where they do have significant overlaps, and that would actually be bringing the residential down to just 2, which would be our single unit and our multiple unit zones. Commercial would be down to 4, which would be our downtown zone, which would include everything that's currently downtown around the mall property and extending all the way down, including the area again, with the new Loma Linda building, with the ballpark and that area. A regional zone, which includes our mall, auto center, the Tri-City area, all of our major freeway-oriented areas. Still retaining a commercial office zone and having a commercial corridor, which would be your Highland Avenue, Baseline, parts of E Street, the major commercial thoroughfares in the city. And then with industrial, I said currently we have 4. We're now proposing to bring it down to 1. Going through the differences again between those, we found most of the distinctions between them don't necessarily need a different zoning district to maintain. They can be done through developmental and operational standards that we can impose more broadly within the industrial areas. With this, with zoning districts, we're also looking at our specific plans and overlays that we have in the city. Currently, we have 8 specific plans and 11 overlays. We've been reading through them, evaluating them for frankly, what's necessary to keep. What we found with some of the specific plan areas, as an example, the University Business Park, the overwhelming majority of that area is fully built out. The purpose of the specific plan is to guide the development of it, not so much the operations of those businesses. So we've looked at that as being a less necessary specific plan than it was when it was all unimproved land. Additionally, there are some areas where the specific plans, the practices in them just aren't really applicable to things currently. They're decade-old plans, t-
types of developments change, you know, the way we do things and the standards that are there are now hindering new people coming in wanting to develop. Additionally, there's some of the overlays that we're proposing to eliminate. The downtown overlay, as an example, there are specific standards for types of things that, you know, we specifically want to restrict to downtown. We want to include, you know, or maybe give provisions for to encourage certain things. With the new downtown zone we're creating, we plan on taking, We plan on taking all of the key features of that and the things that are the benefits of that overlay and just incorporating them directly into the zoning district itself, making the overlay unnecessary. And then next month, we're looking to take the two sections we've really given you with zoning districts and land uses, start to kind of populate our matrix that shows what's going to be permitted in of these new uses, what will be permitted in the new zones we're proposing, and with what thresholds. We know we've spoken before at some of the original sessions we had with the commission regarding things that, you know, we take here now that we may not need to always bring to the commission for review. Again, if we can put, you know, typical conditions, typical standards on certain projects, it makes the review at this level unnecessary because it's already being addressed. With that, we're also looking, and this was something I referenced last month, about starting to fill in that section for special uses or specific uses, land uses, and the criteria that they would need, that they would need to meet, be it lot size or proximity to residential or churches or schools, operating standards for things, screening, you know, all of the things like that for any specific use. And I'll now open it up to any questions on what we have for you.
Commissioner Abbey?
Yeah. Since you're doing all of this, mm-hmm. have you been collaborating or seeking information from the state? What I'm getting at is these marijuana dispensaries, mm-hmm. the city has a moratorium on them.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been looking into the future on that as possibilities and how to curtail them or put them in an area where it's not going to create crime or anything like that? Because it's going to happen.
Oh, you know? Of course.
And I was just wondering if you were discussing that or if there are any plans in the future to look at that. I know they're waiting on information, but...
That's something we haven't discussed yet. It will come up in the work we're doing for next month's meeting, where we get into, exactly as you said, locational requirements or restrictions, possibly operational requirements for things. That's now that we've got those first two components worked out and we can start to fill in the middle, that's when we're going to address that.
Okay.
Just to address the commission on that, only because I was in this room yesterday for 2.5 hours talking about medical marijuana dispensaries. It's something that the council has been looking at directly. The Legislative Review Committee has had several meetings in the last couple of months. They are referring the matter to council on July 5th. The city has already received a voter-initiated initiative that the number of signatures is currently being counted. I don't know if that's coming from me. Nope, didn't. The number of signatures is currently being counted by the city clerk. A preliminary estimate looks like they had about 6,000. They need about 3,600. So it's looking like it will qualify. And the different... the tactic they're taking with that one, and I wish I'd brought my map down, is to create two new overlay districts as we are trying to eliminate them. And they actually create the overlay districts in that initiative by designating specific APN numbers as they existed on January 1st, 2016. And some of those APNs we weren't even able to locate. But it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue because as staff is trying to simplify our development code, there is a strong community push to come to some kind of resolution on the medical marijuana issue, whether that's to continue the ban, whether that's for the city to come up with its own solution, whether that's to have an initiative. Yesterday, as we're counting the signatures on this initiative, another notice of intent to circulate a petition was filed. It was filed by a group that has successfully brought initiatives in other cities, including Santa Ana. The city is considering, at least the LRC was discussing, you know, how can the city combat this? Obviously, we can let them go and see if they fail. The city council can send its own initiative to the voters. But obviously, if we were looking at dealing at this from a land use issue, we're going to make want to make references to the development code, and it's going to be tricky making references to a development code that is changing. But that's one of the things that we are that the city council is going to have to rely on the community development department and the city attorney's office to craft language, whichever way we go. That is going to be enforceable because, you know, one of the things we don't want to happen is to end up like Los Angeles, where they have an initiative that they can't get rid of that makes references to code sections that no longer exist.
Yeah.
Because essentially what that means is community development has to keep a copy of the code as it existed in perpetuity for the purposes of that ordinance. So it's complicated. I know the council is looking at it. I expect that the Planning Commission will have to be briefed at some point with how this is going to, and I think that the at some point, Travis, were you planning on having a presentation on restricted uses?
Well, with the way we're proposing it now, and we talked about this a little bit last month, you know, what we had as the prohibited uses in the current table is really not prohibited. They are the more restricted uses, and what we're planning on doing is incorporating those back into the table and just acknowledging that they can be permitted uses with these certain requirements, if they meet these certain requirements. And that goes to the second item that we plan on having for next month.
Yeah, the reason I asked is because it's obviously going to happen. I mean, the state, and I've read a little bit about it, but, you know, people seem to want it. I don't. But if that happens, when it happens, I would ask that you be considering some pretty hard restrictions on this. And I don't want to see where they were on Highland Avenue up in the north end. You know, as best you can, I know it's difficult with all everything coming at you, put them in places where
businesses. I would say certainly other jurisdictions, I mean, we know states, other cities have found ways to regulate them, you know, within means where they work. As with any, you know, potential, you know, if we want to call it a nuisance use or something like that, it is just about where you place them. So, I mean, if within the capabilities we have and the allowances, you know, we will work to have those types of standards for uses like that.
One of the things, James, that you'll find, I already proposed to Mark and Travis, is as they start to flesh out the details, and as Mark succinctly put, the success or failure is in the details.
Right.
And that's going to take some time to get all that in. Right now, it's painting with a general broad brush, and they'll have language to protect the citizens from uses that would be detrimental to their health and well-being. Whether it be marijuana establishments, alcohol establishments, tobacco shops, tattoo parlors.
And I think with part of what we're doing, and I said with consolidating a lot of the zones, especially the industrial, because that's such a large area, and with the standards we want to incorporate, I mean, that's us acknowledging that if you prohibit it in a certain zone, that doesn't always work because, you know, a given zone may be just along corridors. It may be along corridors, near neighborhoods, near, you know, just buried in the middle of other similar uses. If we allow it but restrict it more, you know, you can't do X use adjacent to existing residential, something like that, then it addresses that, you know, the city is not a perfect map. You know, there's a lot of, you know, an understatement, I understand. You know, there's a lot of nuances to where things are, and we're an old city, so we've got, you know, half the uses that are in areas where we wouldn't allow them now, and it'll look at those issues a little more and make it a little easier for both sides, as I said, to figure out where things go, basically.
And my comment, thank you, Commissioner, regarding the residential, mm-hmm. going to the two RN and RM,
mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with the RM, which is your higher density.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a problem with elimination of consolidating the estate, the low, and the suburban,
mm-hmm.
Unless it's very, very clearly defined in the lot size.
What we've looked at with that, it is definitely a concern. We had those exact discussions when we were first starting these ideas, and I'll acknowledge every detail hasn't been worked out. As you said, we're getting in. It's that fine print that we're starting to get into now. But a lot of what we've found, you know, so far is, regardless of which of those three zones you're in, your development standards on site are almost identical in terms of front yards and sides and rear and things like that, lot coverage, all of those. So there's really no detriment to combining them. One thing, as an example, that we're looking to propose, and this is getting a little ahead of the things, a little more into the specific standards, but on your smaller lots, you maintain the existing, you know, 5-foot setbacks on your sides and existing separations. As you scale up to the larger lots, you know, it would end up being a percentage of that lot, so that you have to maintain those larger setbacks to ensure that kind of, you know, low density feel that exists, you know, especially in the estate areas. The other thing that we're looking at with that is with lot size requirements. Currently, a lot of the requirements, you know, they're set at a fixed number. A lot of the time, that doesn't really acknowledge the area that it's in, especially within the older core area. You have smaller lot sizes, and we're looking at when you do try to create new lots, you know, it's not so much here's a fixed number that you have to meet, which is most of the time prohibitive because of just the configuration of things. It's more you have to maintain, you know, the character. I'm sorry, this does keep cutting out. Maintain the character of the existing neighborhoods, you know, that you're melding with,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, just another thing is I had information feedback from the community in the northwest portion of the city,
mm-hmm.
only referred to as Verdemont.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned with this being a reoccurrence of what happened with the Spring Trails project,
mm-hmm.
where they include open space in the calculation for lot size,
mm-hmm.
and the lot sizes themselves actually were small, but they had all this open space that was non-buildable land anyhow because it's floodplain.
Yeah.
And basically, that's a more rural area, and developers look at big empty areas of land as a place to stuff a whole bunch of houses.
Yeah.
And I don't blame the developers for wanting to make a major profit on their investment, but I do have a problem when they, meaning we, put a development in or allow a development to go in which is higher density than the existing area.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm saying, you know, at this meeting, unfortunately, we don't have all the nuances of how it's going to work out just yet. It's a little bit of a different way of doing things, so there's still some legwork to be done. But with that, you know, referencing again the land uses, everything where we place businesses, one big thing that we are very, very strongly addressing is trying to ensure that we don't disrupt the integrity of existing neighborhoods, existing commercial areas. You know, we allow them to build and expand, you know, with retaining, you know, again, what's working.
Okay, thank you. That I'm providing feedback.
I appreciate the comments. It's more things for us to look at, so so it's very helpful.
Yeah. More information for that we can provide for as community feedback. That's for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Any information we can provide to Travis and Mark or any other member of the staff that's working on this gives them better way of making this development code work for our city now and in the future. And that's I'm happy as heck that we've got Mark Persico here pushing this through to get us out of the dark ages. Any other questions or comments for Mr. Martin or Mark Persico?
Yeah. I just like to say that I applaud your effort to simplify it. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. No, more understandable. Thank you.
The details are to follow. Okay, public comments on items not on the agenda in the purview of the Planning Commission? None. Planning Commission reports or announcements? I have one on a farmer's market up at Schultz's Littlefield Park on Saturday mornings. It's sponsored by the Friends of Ronald Reagan Park. They're trying to develop funds to support putting playground equipment at that park. The city's plan was to put playground equipment at Al Gwynn Park. There are no houses there. Ronald Reagan Park is on the other side of Cobble Creek, right next to houses. So I agree that it's better to have the playground equipment over where the kids are than to make them cross Cable Creek and through a fence and around the thing to get to the park to play on the playground equipment. So that's every Saturday at the Certified Farmers Market. If you're growing something in your backyard and you want to donate it, any donated produce is donations are asked, and it directly supports it. And if you're a business, you have to have a business license with the city. And they're doing it all by the thing. And Randy Wilson, who's a police commissioner from the 5th Ward, who's also a retired sergeant from San Bernardino PD, he makes sure that everybody does it legally. Funny how having a police sitting there makes a difference. That's it for me. Schultz's Littlefield Park up on Kendall between Campus Parkway and Wagon Wheel. Or between Wagon Wheel and Pine. 10 a.m. It's not big yet. It's growing. Every Saturday is what they're running right now. Any other reports or comments from the Planning Commission? Well, first of all, Commissioner Earp will not be here next month, Ms. Sanchez, so you know that in advance now. And I want to thank my fellow commissioners for being here tonight, that we had enough people to actually conduct business. Again, we have commissioners that have been absent an extended amount of time. And I wish to discuss that with my fellow commissioners here. We have commissioners that have not been here in several months at best.
I can actually, Chair, if I can interject for a moment. I actually do have one of the commissioners that has been absent is Casey Daly. He did submit his letter of resignation to the mayor on June 9th. So he has been hired by the BIA, the Building Industry Association, and therefore has a conflict because many of their he represents their builders, their clients, and it's obviously an inherent conflict. So, Commissioner Daly, I know the mayor is starting to search for a replacement for Commissioner Daly. He's one of the ones that's been absent. And then I know you've had some concerns about Commissioner Barnhart.
Correct.
And there is actually in the municipal code a... The seat is automatically vacated when the commissioner misses, I believe it is two meetings without an excuse. It's two or three, but I believe that Commissioner Barnhart has met that standard or exceeded that standard, whichever way you want to look at it. And we can certainly talk to that council member that appointed him. I don't know offhand who...
It's a new councilman, or it's Bessemer Richard.
Okay.
Represents the 6th Ward. Very good.
Positions, and the response was overwhelming.
Okay. So it sounds like your concerns here may already be resolved or were resolving itself.
Yeah, we run into a situation. I do not want to have the public and the applicants come here hoping to conduct business, and we don't have a quorum to conduct business. And that's why we have more than what we need appointed to the position. That's just, okay, I've got the answers I needed, so we can drop it. Although, all the minutes say that they were excused. So I don't know how absent with not being excused or excused is two different things. And that applies to myself as well. If I'm not here and I don't call in and give a valid excuse, then I'm not excused. I'm just absent.
We'll certainly make sure that the minutes reflect whether or not they were actually excused or just absent.
Yeah, being excused, is that to you or to Ms. Sanchez or to me as the chairperson or Lance as the vice chair? How does the acceptance of a reasonable reason not to be in here?
I think if you tell your significant other you're not going to make the meeting, you're excused. No, I don't know. That's good. I shouldn't be so flip. I don't know what the standard is, frankly, on that. There probably isn't a clear standard.
I'll chime in here because...
Unexcused? Okay.
I'll chime in here only because this has come up with other commissions that I advise. When you adopt the minutes, you adopt someone being excused or absent. So it is the commission that is excusing or absenting members. If any member disagrees with someone being listed as being excused or absent, the time to chime in is when you're approving the minutes. That being said, on other commissions where this has been a problem, they've actually made it a point at the beginning of the meeting during roll call of the commission itself determining whether someone was absent or excused. But ultimately, it's in the discretion of the commission what you will find to be acceptable.
Okay. The ongoing, everybody has a life besides the planning commission, so I understand occasionally missing a meeting. It's just when it's meeting after meeting after meeting, that's what brought it to my attention is we had two commissioners that weren't here for the last 4 months. I'm done. Thank you for bringing it up. Mr. Earp says that the minutes that we just were two were unexcused.
Excused were none, and there were two absent.
So, Ms. Sanchez, you've got it together. My mistake. Commissioner Regan.
On your major projects list, the number one item on the sheet was submitted on 11/2/2006. I think it's probably a little out of
Well, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
We're working on streamlining our process, so we'll make sure that we do better than that.
1,010 years is not bad.
Thank you for pointing that out. We will certainly fix that in the next iteration.
Okay. Director's report.
Yes, thank you. Stephanie did just hand out the major projects list. If there are other questions that any commissioners have, we certainly do. Yes?
I've wanted this, and I've seen this other times. This is a big list. I don't know which ones to look at.
Well, we've actually.
Is there
at a staff level kind of grappled with that, because it's, if we included everything, this would be three times as long, and we certainly don't want to do that. Our goal is to try to include projects that we think the community would care about. And we are very busy. So, I mean, one of the reasons it's very long is because we are very busy. I mean, some people will argue, I know when we put when we first generated this list, when I first got here, people said, well, why put cell towers on there? Well, they're not major projects, but some community members or citizens have concerns about cell towers in their neighborhoods. So that's why they're on here. We can always improve the process, but to answer your question, Commissioner Earp, we believe that this hits that kind of sweet spot between getting enough information out to the public about what's going on and not basically feather bedding our report by coming in with a 20-page report.
I just wondered if there's a hint, like the ones at the top are more active, or I mean, some of these go back, you know, a long ways.
They do, and we
read through it and find, you know, what are the hot topics.
Well, we categorize them by ward. So I know some people are more concerned about projects in their ward than they are in projects in other parts of the city. We've played with this quite a bit over the last 2 years. Some of the projects that are, I think one of the things that we're looking at the staff level is, when a project is complete, how long does it stay on here for? So you're right, some of these projects have been on here for a millennia, and you know, we can probably take them off after 1,000 years. But we do think that this hits that sweet spot. But yeah, I mean, it does take some time to go through it. I know we get quite a few positive comments from the public. I think people like to know what's going on. But if you have specific suggestions, certainly we're always willing to look at improving what we do.
I think it's very valuable, especially being available on the website. Now that the people that are in the Fifth Ward that ring my phone and send me emails and all this other wonderful way of communicating, they can look it up themselves.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it's posted right on the homepage of the department, because we do know that a lot of people like to look at this.
Yeah, it'd be really neat if the website would track how many people go in and check.
It's a great tool for me at my neighborhood association meetings. People want to know, hey, what's going on,
sure,
specifically,
yeah,
in their ward, and that's
right.
Usually,
yeah,
what I use it for is a quick reference, and this is what's going on, this is being built here, this is what we did. And at one particular meeting, I only had a few copies, and everybody wanted them. So it's a very handy tool for us.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's quite a bit of staff hours that go into updating this thing every month. We do try to make it as current as possible.
And I think those staff hours expenditure are very beneficial, yeah, overall.
Oh yeah, we're happy to do it. We know that our job is to get information out as much information out as we can without overwhelming people. Again, that's the fine balance. But if commissioners do have any suggestions, we're always willing to listen.
Well, the only thing I hear from people is, when are they going to get done? When are they going to get done?
Right.
I don't know. It depends on the developer, the applicant, how fast he builds,
right,
things.
Right.
It's under construction. Okay. The building permit status and that's good information. And that's as much as anybody actually knows. It depends on how fast they build.
Correct.
Once they're under construction, how long is it going to take them to build a place? Do you know?
It varies pretty significantly by the by whether or not they've got an active tenant, how well they're capitalized. There's a lot of variables that go into the construction process.
Yeah, the best laid construction jobs change as soon as you turn the dirt.
Right.
You got to adjust the whole time.
Yep.
I think it's a very useful tool for the public. It may
Thank
be
you.
A burden on your staff hours to ensure that it stays up?
No, we're happy to do it, but there's a lot more that goes into this than it looks. That was my only point.
It's a good tool.
Yeah.
It's a very good tool. I like it online because my eyes aren't as good as I used to, so I can blow it up and look at it. Put it on the TV, on a 60-inch TV, I can read it really easy. Kick back in my recliner and read the reports. All righty. Anything else?
I do have two other items real quick to note. Following up on the development code update, the study session that we just concluded, staff is considering doing a workshop where we can actually get into a lot more detail on this. We have a study session scheduled for July at your July meeting on the 20th, but we're looking at a potential workshop date on August 24th, which is the fourth Wednesday. And I can have Stephanie email that out. I know just to kind of poll the commissioners, I know August can sometimes be a little bit of a challenge with vacations. But we'd like to do it in a workshop format, probably up in the MIC room. It is a public meeting, so anybody can attend. But if we can all sit around a table and really get into, by that time, we'll have a lot of detail for commissioners to go through and really give us some much more meaningful feedback on. So with the five of you here, does that look like, at least with you five?
Okay, morning, afternoon, evening?
It would be an evening, yes. So if the five of you, if it looks good for the five of you, we'll have Stephanie send out an email, and it will be a noticed workshop. And we'd encourage, again, tell all of your NAC members that this is happening. We want to get as much input as we can. And then my final bit of news is actually some very good news for our own Stephanie Sanchez. I think many of you know that Brenda Liggett, my executive assistant, recently moved out of state. And we went through a recruitment process, and Stephanie was the successful candidate, so she is being promoted. She just found out this afternoon. It was a tough choice, a very good process that we went through, but Stephanie definitely earned the job, so thank you.
The only problem, do we lose Stephanie from here?
Well, we need, I've been giving a lot of thought to that because Brenda, even though she was my executive assistant, staffed the Board of Building Commission because she previously was the assistant in building. So Stephanie may remain as the recording secretary to the commission. She and I will have to work that out, but that's an open question. So, and that concludes my report.
Okay. Well, good job, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And a promotion means more money. At least we hope, huh?
He does.
Okay, unless there's something else, staff as usual is attentive. Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, I'll keep it brief lest I be accused of unnecessarily extending the length of the meeting. I did want to get feedback from the commission. There's a couple of things that I'd like to take some time with the commission to go over. Make sure that the commission is up to date on Brown Act training. We haven't done that as long as I've been here. I do it with all of my commissions, at least on a yearly basis, to go over it. Although it's not required because, unfortunately, you are all not paid. I still like to go over AB 1234 training, which is basically a broad overview of things like you're not allowed to take bribes to make decisions, things like that. And then conflict of interest training, which I actually think is more important for a commission like this. I prefer to do those in sort of a workshop setting, still open to the public, obviously. But I found that it's more effective, you know, around the table where people can feel comfortable asking questions. I'm going to be asking staff if there's a date. I know that they have very important things coming up. It's sometime this year, but if there's a preference on doing it workshop or if you just want me to tack it on at the end of a meeting, let me know. And then lastly, I just wanted to add on there that we will be coordinating with staff on the medical marijuana dispensary issue. And I can also make sure that we have reports at further meetings of the Planning Commission so you know where the city is on that topic. That's all.
I would suggest that if we have that workshop, that we try to make sure that any new commissioners, that be almost a mandatory attendance to make sure that they're brought on board.
Certainly. And,
right away?
One of the things with all of my commissions, whenever we get a new commissioner, I always make time to do one-on-one training with that individual. They don't have to wait till next year to know whether they're violating the Brown Act or not. I'd rather let them know immediately.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to Wednesday, July 20th at 6 p.m. here.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, gentlemen. I need a new sanity and a strong button. Where did you get them? Your office there?
Yeah. Here, around the government center, just swam by.
Oh, okay.
To the fifth floor and say anyone.
Which, not the Rosa Parks building. The county government.
County.